My name is Alicia Fell. Today is the 10th of January 2007. I am interviewing Mary Jane Callahan here at the Gainsborough Library. Thank you for participating, Mary Jane. We're going to start by asking some background questions about you. Can you tell us when and where you were born?
I was born January 21st, 1933, in Roanoke Memorial Hospital.
Okay, and we've gone over the streets that you lived on, and just for our tape recording, can you tell us what is the neighborhood that you most closely identify with?
I identify mostly with Williamson Road because I have lived there off and on since I was 12 or 13.
Okay, and your family has ties to the Gainsborough area, that's correct?
That's right.
Okay, and yes. Where do they live in Gainsborough?
They lived on Wills Avenue. The, I don't know what you call it, the first street or the last street, opposite the side of Hotel Roma.
Okay.
And there were five or six houses. Of course, they're all gone now because they tore them all down and made it. You know, if you look on the side, you can see where they fixed up a beautiful area.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your parents and siblings. Tell me about your mom and dad. What did they do, and where were they from?
Okay. My father was originally from Greensboro, and I think he was about 4 years old when they moved to Roanoke. He was the youngest of four, and they moved to Roanoke and lived on Wells Avenue. They just lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't live anywhere else, let me put it that way. And he worked at the Norfolk and Western for 46 and a half years, and mostly in the real estate office and the accounting offices like that. When it was called the Norfolk and Western, you know, not Norfolk Southern, and the buildings were over here where the tech center is and the apartment, that's where they were, where he worked. Okay. My mother was born in Bedford County, but I think they moved to Roanoke when she was two or three. She was the youngest of six. And she taught school. Well, she went to Radford College, and you could get a teaching certificate after 2 years. And she had that for the longest time until they made a change. And you had to, by degrees, get your degree. You might say, and so she went to Radford in the summer and took courses in the winter, and she taught for 28 years, and I don't, maybe it was the 28 that she taught at Oakland School in on Williamson Road. She taught there, and she taught upper elementary.
Okay, so she taught all of her 28 years here in Roanoke?
Yes, she did. Yes, she did.
Uh-huh. And that was all at Oakland?
No. She taught, let me see, before she was married, she taught at Crystal Springs School when she was real young, like 21 and 22, because she got married when she was 22. And then when she got pregnant with me, she was required to stop teaching.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yes. Yes. You know, I'm talking about in the early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then she went back to teaching. And it seems to me like she was at Mount Pleasant School. And I don't know whether that's in the city or the county. At the time, it might well have been in the county, and it might still be. You know, I'm just not sure. And then she came to Oakland, and she taught at Oakland. And I think I'm right when I say she taught 28 years altogether. But almost all except a couple, were at Oakland School.
Okay.
In upper elementary.
And did you have other brothers and sisters?
I had a brother. A brother who was 2 years younger than me. And he died in 1995 when he was 60 years old. And when he was in the first grade, still 6 years old, he was diagnosed with diabetes. And the fact that he lived at all, I guess, surprised everybody. And at while he was growing up and everything, they said the average lifespan of a diabetic, a juvenile, I still say juvenile onset, but a type 1, I can't believe it, was about 25 years. And he lived till he was 60, more than 53 years with severe diabetes. Even had his feet amputated and all that kind of thing. I think the last 10 years of his life, he more alive, was more living than really alive person. And he died in 1995. So.
What was his name?
His name was Frank Jr. Frank Jr. And he was living in Oklahoma with his wife. And they were both in a nursing home in outside of Oklahoma City. And I just knew I had to go see him. He had had a colostomy. You know, things were just bad. You know, he wasn't going to make it. And I paved the way for a friend to go with me. One weekend, we went on a Saturday morning, came back on Sunday evening, and he died 10 days later. So I've always been glad that I did that, you know. Just the one brother.
And what were your parents' names?
Frank and Lucy. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you have extended family members living here in Roanoke? Mm-hmm. Were you close to them?
Yes. My father's sister lived here until she died in 1988, something like that. And she has had two sons, and one of them still lives here. And his children, they don't all live here. He has four children, and two live away, and two live here. And so he's the one that I'm the closest to.
And what's his name?
His name is Frank Murphy.
So there's lots of Franks.
Oh, yes. And, in fact, two of his grandsons, which is really Francis, F-R-A-N-C-I-S, like St. Francis, yeah. Have Francis as their middle name. One is Michael Francis. I brought pictures because I just got them. This is Michael Francis.
Oh.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
And he's in the fourth grade, and he won't be nine until April. And when they took the SOLs in the third grade last May, out of a total score of 600, he made 598.
Wow.
And, you know, we're like, and these are his other grandchildren. Yes, he's in his second year, so he's got two of them. Oh, there. He graduated from Salem High School. He's at Roanoke College playing basketball because he's 6'6". And this is his brother who will graduate from Salem.
So this is the son. These are the children of?
These are the grandchildren of Frank Murphy.
Of Frank Murphy. Uh-huh. Curtis, Mark, and?
Nick. Or Michael.
Michael.
And this is Mark Francis, and this is Michael Francis. And his son. His father is John Francis. Frank's name is Francis John. He was named after my father and my father's brother.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I like that. So but aren't they wonderful?
Yeah. Woo!
Goodness. Yeah. And those are the newest pictures that I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you said that you had moved around a lot and had rental properties. Is there one?
They rented homes.
Okay.
And then they finally bought a home.
Okay.
In 61.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And the home they bought in 61, where was that?
That was on Old Mountain Road.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you,
They died in 85.
You said... Well, let's see. What's the house that you remember the most growing up?
It would have to be on Burton Avenue, Williamson Road. That's the one I remember the most because I was 12 or 13 when I moved there.
What kind of, can you describe the house for me? Was it, like, for instance, was it brick or was it?
Yes, it was a brick house. Yeah.
One story or two?
Two. And a basement and an attic, you know, all of that.
And did you have a garden?
I don't remember that we did.
Okay. Let's see. What kind of activities did you participate in growing up?
I mostly read. I just, you know, I was not a sports person or a cheerleader or anything else. I was pretty shy and pretty small and everything else. And so I didn't do anything like that, really.
So you read a lot. Did you go to a particular library when you went, when you grow up?
Let me tell you what I did to show you how different things are. On Friday night, I would walk 2 blocks and get on the bus, go downtown, get on the Williamson Road bus, go downtown to Camel and Jefferson, walk to where the library was up on the hill in the house.
In the
you knew
building?
That. No, no.
It's Carrie, the one that, where is now the main library sits.
Yes, but it wasn't sitting right there. It was
right.
A house up on a hill
right.
In Elmwood Park. Is that what the name of it
yes,
was?
Yes, it was
okay.
The Terry House. Okay.
I couldn't remember that. I would go there, get books, and then it would be dark. I would walk from that building back down to Camel and Jefferson and get on the bus and walk back 2 blocks to my house. And nobody saw anything about it. My family, you know, my mother and father, so what?
So you did that every Friday?
Just about.
Wonderful.
Just about. And I've done that in the dark on Friday night.
Do you remember who the librarian was?
No.
Okay.
I cannot. I, in fact, I may not have known, you know, because I was about 17, maybe 18, something like that. And I can remember, too, that I had Battle Oxford. And we wore our jeans turned up like this.
And we talked about what your mother and father did growing up. So let's talk about your education now. Where did you attend school growing up?
I attended Old Our Lady of Nazareth School from grade 1 through 12. And that's over on the corner, was over on the corner of 8th and Campbell. And it's now the Ram House. You know, it's been the Ram House for at least, what, 30 years, 20 years, something like that. But it was a church, and the school was up over the church. And that's where I went to school. And then when I graduated from high school at 16, I went to St. Andrews at a postgraduate commercial school, typing, shorthand, bookkeeping, you know. And I got a degree from that. And then I worked at the First National Exchange Bank when it was downtown at the corner of Camel and Jefferson. And then I worked, and I can't remember the name, because I saw Silk Mill in here somewhere, and I can't remember the name.
The Viscose?
Yes.
The Viscose plant.
Yes, Viscose. That's the trouble with turning 74. I worked there for about a year and a half. No, I didn't. That was the third place I worked. The second place I worked was the Department of State in Washington, D.C. And I came back and worked for the Viscose. And then I went to college in Indiana for 2 years.
And what, say the name of the college again?
St. Mary's College, Notre Dame, Indiana. It was formed in the 1840s.
Okay, and that was the female
version of Notre Dame,
okay.
Which was just right across the highway.
Wonderful.
Outside of South Bend. And then I came here and I taught school and went to Radford in the summer and took EVA extension courses at night.
Wow.
And then graduated with a Bachelor of Arts in Education, and I think the only education degrees now are Bachelor of Science, but I got a bachelor because I majored in French and then had minors in Latin and history. And then, first place I went to teach with a degree was Martinsville, and I went there 4 years. I taught in a high school. And then I went to Norfolk and taught at Maury High School, which I think has been there since 1910. You know, it was the high school and then the oldest by far. And I taught there 13 years. And then I came back to Roanoke, and then I taught at Roanoke Catholic for 18 years.
Very good. And you said you got your master's degree as well?
Yes. I'm skipping my important thing, which was that I got my master's at Old Dominion University in history, in medieval history.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. So you completed up to your master's degree, and you said your mother also completed her...
Not master's, bachelor. She had a double major in English and elementary education. I don't know whether you do that now or not, but...
Did your father have a college degree?
No, he did not.
Did your brother go to school?
No. Well, he went to Tech for a year, and then he just did other things, but he moved around a lot.
Okay. Okay, now we're just going to talk about growing up with your family. If you could just describe a little bit of your home life for us. For instance, did you gather around the radio in the evening? Do you remember when you got your first?
Oh, yes, we did. I cannot remember. I can remember the first phone number we had, but I don't know where I was living. It was just 9744. That was all it was. And, you know, if you wanted to call somebody long distance, you dialed the operator, you know, way back then. So, you know, but I don't remember whether I was living on Burton Avenue in Williamson Road or I was living, I'm sure we had a telephone when I was living on Day Avenue.
Did you listen to the radio?
Oh, yeah.
Was there a favorite show?
No, not really, but we would listen to certain things, you know.
Okay.
Yes.
Did you sit on the porch in the evenings and interact with your neighbors at all?
Yes, we did. Because no house was air-conditioned. I mean, not even one. It's while I was growing up, you know. Yes, we did a lot of that. But it wasn't in Gainesboro. That's what my problem with doing all of this is.
Yeah. Well, it's good. And it's good to know about all neighbors in the city. The neighborhood, sitting on the porch and interacting with your neighbors seemed to be a major community event.
It was.
Here in Gainesboro.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like that also?
Yes, it was.
Growing up in the city?
Yes, it was. Mm-hmm.
So you would sit
had friends on the block, so to speak, you know. Friends around.
What chores did you have to do around your house or in your neighborhood?
I had to do a lot of chores. And I had to do them on Saturday because, you know, the week was school and homework, and I can remember how I hated running from them. And I wish I could go to school on Saturday. And then when I got to my mother's room, I would shut the door. The cleaner was running. I would shut the door, and I would sit down in her boudoir and try on her ring. Things like that. You know, with the cleaner. Well, I can remember that. It's funny how you remember certain things and other things you can't. I couldn't even remember Visco's, you know.
Were there stories that your family passed down from generation to generation about either your family's history or about...
Yes. Now, more of my family's history I got from... Let me see. I guess he would be a cousin of my father and my aunt in Tennessee, and he started this genealogy business down there, and I had stacks of material, but I gave them all to my cousin who lives in Wilmington, Delaware, summer before last, because he was way into it, and even going to places in Pennsylvania and Maryland trying to find birth records and things like that. And I thought, I have no one to give this to. No one. And I'm going to give it all to him. And I did. And he was very excited, although he's about 80, 79 or 80 years old. He was just so very interested in
wonderful. Did you have any family recipes that were passed down to your family? You don't remember that?
No.
Okay.
I don't like to cook. I just cook vegetables and chicken and fish and then some stuff. I am not a cook. I don't want to be a cook ever.
Did you or anyone in your family ever serve in any of the wars?
No. My brother, of course, was disabled, severely disabled. And then my father, when World War II came, he was about 35 years old, which was the high end, you know, and he wanted to serve so bad. He was a small man, but he wanted to serve so bad. And they declared him, for reasons I'm not sure, a 4F, which means no way. You know, and he still worked, even during the Depression, he was lucky. He kept a job. Engineers were cut off and everything. People that had degrees from tech and all of that, and he never was. He managed to maintain his job at the Norfolk and Western, but he kept up with everything. He knew more about what went on in World War II than anybody I ever knew. And because I taught world history, I maintained a lot of information from that and used it, you know. So.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
What kind of businesses and shops here in Roanoke do you remember shopping at?
Well, all the shopping was downtown. Every single bit of it. I mean, there was no such thing as a shopping center. There might have been a couple of little stores over on Grandin Road, things like that, and theaters. You know, there was the Grandin is still there, but it closed, and, you know, a couple of times. And the Lee Theater over on Winston Road. And then they did kids stuff and regular movies. I remember going to see The King and I there. And so on. And then it became, the R and X-rated movie.
Oh,
it did! And then it just closed completely and became, I don't know if it was apartments or what, I don't even know what was there. But that there was nowhere to shop. You got on the bus and went downtown.
Did your family have a car?
Not until the first year after World War II, Daddy bought a secondhand car, and it was a 1946. And in those days, you put your name on a list, and it took 2 years to get a car.
Wow.
You know, because all of the car makers were making tanks and airplanes and this and that. And there was no such thing as a car from 1942 to 1946.
Were you excited when you got the first car?
Mm-hmm.
Did you learn how to drive it, or was it
not here? And it was later that I learned how to drive.
Would you shop downtown on the city market for groceries, or was there a grocery store?
One of the most interesting things where the city market building is was a meat market. That's all it was. And Mother would call. There must have been 8 or 10 meat markets on each side, and she dealt with one, and she would call and say what she wanted, and I would read, when I left school over to Old Nazareth, I would either walk or ride the bus downtown, pick up the meat that he already had ready, and get on the bus and come back over to Williamsburg.
How often would you do that?
Oh, at least once or twice a week. You know, because refrigerators had these little freezers that were just like that, and that was it.
And you talk a lot about riding the bus. Did you ever ride the railway, the
streetcar?
Streetcar.
I sure did. When I went from, when I lived over on Day Avenue and when I lived on Williamson Road, my aunt lived in South Bronx, Daddy's sister, all that time. And I would ride the streetcar over there. And when I would do that, now this is just me, you get on the streetcar, I always sat on the left-hand side. And the reason I did, which when the streetcar went behind, not behind, before it got to where Roanoke Memorial Hospital was, it went down Hamilton Terrace. And here was the river over here. And here was Hamilton Terrace. And I knew the guy wasn't going any faster than he was supposed to be. It felt like 100 miles an hour down that hill. And I fell alone because I was so afraid it would toss into the river. I can remember that so easily. Isn't that funny? And then, you know, then get off and walk a block, just a block. Cause there was definitely a streetcar that went from Patterson Avenue. I even did that, I think, you know, when I was living.
Was it less expensive to ride the streetcar or the bus?
I don't think so. I think it was the same. But you know, you can get a transfer. And I always kept the transfer in case I met a friend at the corner of Camel and Jefferson. She lived in Philmont. And if it was raining, we would ride the streetcar up to school. If it wasn't raining, we walked.
Well, that's smart.
Yeah. But I mean, I always had an extra transfer.
So good.
Yeah.
What is your fondest childhood memory? Do you have, for instance, do you have a favorite holiday event, a favorite vacation you would go to, a favorite gift you would ever receive?
I can't remember that. I would have to think about it, and all of a sudden something would come back to my mind. I can't think along those lines right now.
Okay.
I just don't remember.
Are there big events that you remember happening in the city that you remember attending, like the fairs, the Roanoke Fair that they had?
Oh, I know I did a couple of times. And, you know, the Victory Stadium, 4th of July things, we went to that 2 or 3 times.
What would they do for the 4th of July at Victory Stadium?
There was some kind of band or orchestra before the fireworks. And I always hated listening to the music with the torch. I was driving over here and they said something about the music from with us story, and I thought, no, thank you. I just got so tired. You know, they played bouncy music and wonderful music and West Side Story music. And I know why. You know, it's because of Leonard Bernstein and, you know, the gangs of New York. But I just hated that music. And then they would play stuff, you know, and then the fireworks were wonderful. Yeah, just wonderful.
So that was a big event to go to?
That was a big event for anybody to go to. Yeah.
And was it free to go to that?
Yes.
Would your whole family go?
I mostly went with my cousins over in Selma when I was there. And then there was no problem with parking or anything like that. And one other thing that I loved to do when I was in my teens, in later teens, my daddy and I loved to go to Mar Field, which was down the road. You know, here's Victory Stadium. And then down the road toward Franklin Road was a baseball field. And we'd like to go watch the Roanoke Red Sox. And we'd get on the bus, go downtown and transfer right up there, and then have to do the reverse. And we just loved it.
Wonderful.
My dad
liked going to the baseball
game. I did then. Now I would care if I ever one again, you know.
And they were called the Roanoke Red Sox?
Uh-huh. And they were a farm team of the Boston Red Sox. And they were like, you know, not first, not second. I think they were, I can't remember the word, you know. Because, they all had farm teams, even now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we loved to do that, my dad. So we would eat supper and get on the bus about 6 o'clock. And go. We love to do that.
Wonderful. Is there anything else that we didn't cover that you'd like to share with us?
One of my memories of Gainesville Library, you know, I said I taught up there on the hill, and that's what we call it, on the hill, for 18 years. And for about 2 years or 3 years, I had an advanced placement American history class that I taught, and when we got the research paper, and of course research was a lot harder back in the 80s, you know, than it would be now. And we would come down to this library, and whatever the subject was, you know, I think about 7 or 8 students.
Who was the librarian then? Was it Miss Virginia Wiley or was it Carla?
I don't know if it was Carla or not, because I don't know when she started here.
Talking. She's been here for 35
years. Well, then it was Carla.
Yeah. See,
but at that time, I did not know her or remember. And we would come down here 1 or 2 days, just during the class period, you know. And if you know how you have to sign your life away to get on a bus or do anything at a school anymore. We didn't. We just said, you know, we're going to the Gainesville Library and back up the hill we went, down and back up. And that was it. You know, it was, like I said, only 7 or 8 of us.
And do you, what church do you attend?
Now, I go to St. Elias. Over on Cove Road, it's a Maronite Catholic church, which is Lebanese. And they have, for about 7 years now, they've had a Lebanese festival in June. And you ought to go to it. That's the most wonderful food you've ever eaten. Remember the Greek church did it for the first time, really, just this past, what, October or November? Same type of thing. And I just love that church. It's more, I don't know. I'm not a conservative. I'm a liberal. But it's a conservative church, and I love the liturgy, and I just love it. Been going about 6 or 7 years.
Right. And did you go to, did you attend church anywhere else?
St. Andrew.
You did St.
Andrew? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Okay. For probably 20 years or so. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Were you a member of any organizations here in the city?
Right off, I can't remember.
Okay.
I just can't.
All right. All right.
Then come to me.
Okay. Well, I think we're at the end of our interview,
oh.
And I just wanted to tell you thank you for participating.
Oh, I'm so glad. And if we had those pictures, I could tell you more about.
Yeah, we can definitely follow up.
Because I've got a picture of the house, and I've got a picture of my dad standing. Well, he's facing the house. But behind him, this old hotel, when he was about 20, 18 or 20, and behind him was old hotel room with awning, you know, because it was the old one before there was ever any such thing as air conditioning and stuff like that. And my cousin, Frank, out in San Francisco, was born in the second floor of 50 Gilmer Avenue, which is right behind where Evelyn Duffel lives, because she lives at 35 Patton, you know. And I've got a picture of my grandmother, my grandfather, and my father, and he looked like he was 5 or 6 years old in the picture, but the house where he was born, and I think it's still there.
Wonderful.
Although the ones on Wells, you know, have long since been torn.
Okay, well, yes, we will. Let's take a look at those pictures and have you talk about them.
And you know, there was at least one, if not two, Greek families that lived there. It was only, like I said, 5 or 6 houses on there. And they lived on that street, too. And I don't know who they were or anything. And they might all be gone for all I know, you know.
So I'm taking up your time now.
Oh, you're fine.
I'll give this back to you.